continue to celebrate God's goodness, I invite your attention to join me in the fifth chapter of Ephesians, that very passage that Kiana read to us just earlier during our welcome time, the fifth chapter of Ephesians. And our emphasis will be coming from the 15th through 20th verse of that passage. Ephesians, the fifth chapter, beginning at the 15th verse. And if you made your way there, I want us to begin by looking at the first six words that are presented by the Apostle Paul in this passage. The 15th verse, he says, "Look carefully then how you walk." Look carefully how you walk. You know, in this, the start of this new year, is one of my practices to begin my journey or chronicling through the Word of God. I began with a mission to read the entire Bible throughout the year. Anybody else start their year that way? Anybody, you start your year with a commitment? Okay, let me help some of you all. You start your year with a commitment, there you go, to read the Word of God, to read through the Word of God. And it's part of my commitment. And typically, Austin, I join that with reading a devotional. One of my favorite devotional writers is Johnny Erickson Tada. One of my favorite devotional writers, and in one of her writings, she was writing as a teenager when she was hospitalized. She was hospitalized as a teenager, and while she was there over a long stint of a hospitalization, she began to observe some of the patients that were there in the hospital with her. And Johnny commented in her devotional that as she was observing, she noticed an elderly man who was always walking down the hallway. And as she was walking down the hallway, Mom, she said that he was always being assisted with a walker. He was having difficulty because he was lame. He was crippled. And as a young teen, she said she committed to praying. She committed to praying that one day, this man would receive. Tom, great to see you, man. You just don't understand how my heart is rejoicing right now. She was praying how this man would receive the necessary surgery that he needed so he would no longer have to walk crippled. And she prayed, and others in the hospital staff, they joined her in this prayer. She's hospitalized, but she's praying for someone else she sees every day walking through the hallways crippled. She said, and the time came. Pastor George, you may have read that. She said the time came where the man was able to get the much-needed surgery they had been praying about. And everybody was rejoicing that the surgery was finally going to happen. And this man would have to continue to live his life in this crippled condition. And she said that he had the surgery. Months later, she was out of the hospital. He's out of the hospital. She returns for a evaluation of her own treatment. And she said she happened, Michael, to see this same man coming down the hallway. And he was limping, still using a cane, still using assistance to make his way down the hallway. Johnny said she turned to the surgeon. She said, "It's a shame that the surgery didn't work." To which the surgeon replied, "Oh no, Johnny, the surgery was quite a success. We removed all his lame joints, his corrupted joints. We removed all the diseased ligaments. It was a success." Says, "The man limps out of habit." God is challenging us, church, that as we embark this blessing of the new year he's given us, that we don't carry with us the bondage of the previous year that he's already set us free from. Can I talk to some real people in here? Because oftentimes, let's be honest, oftentimes when we reach these places and plateaus in our lives, when we reach these positions in our lives, oftentimes we're chronicling the catastrophes of yesterday. And they cement our productivity in today because we're focusing on what had us down. When God said he's already set us free. And so in this new year, I want to challenge all of us to look carefully, examine carefully, not so much what were the tragedies of yesterday, But examine carefully what God has done for you today. I'm in the Bible. I hope you didn't close the first 15 verse where it says, he says, look carefully then how you walk. Examine, observe, pay close attention to how you walk. And then he qualifies it not as unwise, but wise. I want to encourage you, brother, sister, young person. I want to encourage you this year to focus on everything good God has done in your life. I want to challenge you to examine and to evaluate what God is currently doing in your life. Because you know how it is. Can we be real for a moment? You know how it is. Oftentimes, we hyper-focus Candace on, I can call Candace because she's my friend. We hyper-focus on the negatives and fail to appreciate the positives. And you've made it into a new year. That's a positive thing. Might I remind you, as my grandmother would remind me, not everybody made it to where you are. You made it into a new year. In fact, some of you still have your right mind. And if you're honest about it, everything you went through in the previous year, you probably should have lost your mind. But you still know who you do know who you are, right? And if you know who you are, then it's possible you know whose you are. And since you know whose you are as a child of God, you can look around and say, you know what? God isn't done with me yet. Great is his faithfulness toward me that God has been good to me. He says for us to look carefully how we walk. Now submit this. It doesn't say look how you fall. It doesn't say evaluate and observe how you're not been able to progress. Because that would be unwise. It's unwise to focus on the stuff that didn't work. Okay, let me say that one more time. It's unwise to pay so much attention on what doesn't work instead of paying attention on what does work. I'm in Bible country right now because it's amazing how when things are not working the way we want them to work in our lives, Pastor George, oftentimes we get on our knees and we start to pray, and we ought to pray, and that always works because prayer, somebody in here knows, right? You do know that prayer works. Anybody ever been between a rock and a hard place and you cried out to God and God answered your prayer? Am I the only one where God constructed a bridge over troubled water? You didn't know how you were going to make it out. You didn't know if you were going to make it out. But you call upon God and God escorted you out of the trouble you were in. Anybody up in here ever had a prayer answered? And if prayer worked then, prayer works now. I'm trying to help you understand something here. To focus on, carefully concentrate on what works. Prayer works. Worship works. The Word of God. You got it. You're in the text with me. It works. And so we ought to, going into this new year, we ought to focus on what works. Let me give it to you in Twitter form. You got to maximize every moment. Don't waste it. Maximize it. And one of the ways in which we maximize the moment is to magnify what God is doing in the moment and take account of all the good things God has done in your life. I bet it'll change your disposition. I bet if you began to concentrate, am I talking to myself? I hope I'm not the only one up in here, because you know how we are. It's quicker for us to chronicle everything that's wrong. I was talking to a family member, and I said, hey, how you doing? She gave me a whole litany of everything that was wrong with her. I asked her, is there anything right? She's not here, so I can talk about it. So I said, how you doing this new year? She said, oh, my elbow hurt, my knees hurt, arthritis got me, and arthritis got me. They're two married couples. Some of you too young to know who they are, arthritis and arthritis. But she said, hey, they got me. I said, well, is there anything good? I want to challenge you, brothers and sisters, as the text is calling our attention, and that is to make every moment count. To maximize the moments you have in this day, in this time, in this life with God. concentrate on what God is doing in your life or what God wants to do through you. So he says, look carefully. Look, help me preach for a moment. Just tell your neighbor, say, look carefully. That's intentionally, that's volitionally. It's to hyper-concentrate on. On what? On how you walk so that when you walk, you're walking wisely. Let's see if I can help you. My wife and I just returned, and I'm excited, and I'm happy. I'm happy because we had a wonderful celebration. I'll tell you a little bit about that in a little while. A wonderful celebration over this new year. And so I'm on a high because, Tom, I realized that, you know, God's been good to me. Yeah, I know you can't say amen about that. I can say amen. He has been good to me. Yes, he has. Mm-hmm. Look at her. But anyway, one more time. Yeah, all right. Yeah, you'll get that in a little bit. Some of you, you're not married yet. You keep praying. It's going to be all right. But really, God's been good to me, and she allowed Kiana planned this entire experience where we're all able to disconnect and to unplug. And one of the things I like to do to mentally challenge myself, but at the same time disconnect, is I have an appreciation for what is called metamorphic art. It forces you to look carefully. One of my favorite artists who I love is Octavio Ocampo. Metamorphic art. In fact, I'll show you. One of the pieces that I really enjoyed, one of my first pieces I've seen, is called The General's Family. Have you ever seen The General's Family? Have you? None of you all ever? No art, but let me help you just to get a little culture here. So here it is. But it's called The General Family. And if you look closely, one thing about metamorphic art is that it's layered because, one, do you see the general? You see him? You see him holding his lapel pin there? But look closely. Because is the general's face the only face you see? How many say yes? Raise your hands. Okay, how many say no? Raise your hands. I want to teach you how to raise your hand in church. This is what this is. Raise your hand. It's a good practice. How many see two faces? How many faces do you see? Tell me. You say three. How many faces? Anybody saw more than three? Three. Somebody says four. This is not bidding. We're not auctioning here. Okay. But tell me. Do you see it? Actually, when you look closely, when you look intently, there's not one face. There's the entire family. Go ahead and give them the answer key, brothers. Look closely here. There it is. There's over nine faces. I know you saw the sombrero. You saw the brother in the sombrero. You saw his wife with his youngest child that's represented there. But if you look to the right by the candelabra, you'll see yet another image of his daughter. Nine faces. And a cursory look would not have brought you to see the details that are in the picture. Come here. The text tells us to look carefully. Look carefully how we walk. That we focus, examine, to see every element of our lives where God is active. And we highlight it, we celebrate it, so that when the enemy comes in this year and tries to confuse our minds to believe that God isn't for you, you can look back in your life and say, no, he woke me up this morning. Oh, you're not with me in this place here. He started me on my way. He gave me breath in my lungs. And I read, let everything that has breath. I came here to preach. I hope you came here to worship. Let everything has breath praise. You know your Bible, don't you? Praise ye the Lord. That you chronicle what God is doing so you look carefully. Not only should we look carefully to maximize every moment, but we ought to use our time wisely, which flows out of that. It's using the time God has given us wisely. And one of the unwise ways to use or to waste time is to concentrate on what doesn't work. But one of the best ways to use time is to spend that time with God.
Let me help you. I heard this exercise, had this exercise done in a previous service. I want to try it with you. How many of you know how to snap? Snap. You know snap? Yeah, it sounds like popcorn all over the place. Let's see if we can do it together. Come on, say 1,000, 2,000, 1,000, 3,000, 1,000. Ooh, you got some groove in you this year. Well, yeah, that's it. That's it. That's it. I don't get tired. Come on, come on, come on. Stay with it. The more you snap and the better you do it, the closer the sermon is to ending. Notice every second, we snap somebody like, with every moving, every moment a second goes by, it, even when you stop snapping every second, the seconds continue. Notice the text. The text goes on to tell us. He says, yeah, look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time because the days are evil. The best use of our time. He's challenging us. He says, verse 17, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. I hope you see this. He says, make the best use of our time. Evaluate how we use our time, because all of us have the same amount of time. You ever notice how there are certain people who seem to get more done in the same amount of time that you have? Okay, you might be those people that we'd be talking about when you get all that stuff done. We try to figure out how you do it all. Because they tell their time where to go. Instead of their time using them, they use the time God has given them. And the text here is really not speaking of chronological time. This is not the measurements of time, but this is kairos kind of time. It is a new in kind, the moment, the newness of the moment. He says, don't miss the moments that God has given you, but use them and don't waste them. You see it there? He says, use your time wisely. Make the best use of it, because there are all kinds of distractions that will try to pull from time. If we're going to maximize every moment, brothers and sisters, yes, we have to look carefully on how we do what we do, choosing to follow what works. And secondly, we have to use our time wisely. Because truthfully, you have more time than you think. So teenagers, you won't remember this, I know, but there was a time where social media didn't exist. I know, you don't know. I need any rotary dial people in the house. You were living. You remember, right? You remember the rotary dial. I know, y'all don't know. It's okay. But you remember, you would take the whole universe to get to one number, And don't let it have a zero in it, zero and then one and five. And don't mistake and miss a number. Because you got to start all, okay, anyway, I'm trying to help teach you history, y'all. History. But before the advent of the cell phone and social media and all these means of connectivity, we seemed to have more time. Because it wasn't filled with everything. And this is not a rant against social media. Social media is positive and it is helpful when used correctly. But hear me well, brothers and sisters, we have more time than we think. I bet if we added up all the time we spend on social media, all the time we spend on our cell phones, you'll find that some of that time we could be spending on more productive things, like growing closer to God, like getting to know him. Because if we're going to make our moments, every moment, if we're going to maximize every moment, we have to take back our time and use that time productively for us to grow in God. Because the best way to live in this year, in this life, is to live it with God. It's to grow in him, because the only way, he says, the text says, that you may know what the will of the Lord is. He says, make the best use of your time that you will know what the will of the Lord, present tense, is. In this time, for you to know what the will of the Lord is, you have to know the Lord. Let me see if I can illustrate this thing, because you're wondering why I was smiling. And I was telling you, my wife had time for us to disconnect. She did. She really did, because, you know, we just celebrated our 22nd honeymoon. Yeah. Now, we had a little debate, because she was calling it an anniversary and everything. I call it a honeymoon, because that's what it's supposed to be. And we were celebrating it. And one thing I can tell you after 22 years is I know that woman. No, you're looking at me like you don't understand. No, you see, I know. Y'all know the pastor's wife. But I know her intimately, that I could be on this side of the room, and I can look at her and I can tell you whether or not she's having a good day. I know her. Tom, you feel me, bro. You know, you feel me. You know, you go in the house, no words exchanged. You already know something ain't right. You know her. You know her. You know him. Wives, you know your husbands. That we don't even have to articulate what we need or want. Before you say it, she said, oh, your keys are on the counter. Because they know us. Why? How is it that we can know the will of God? Spend time with him. Can I teach you Bible for a moment? The will of God is not mysterious. The will of God is not foreign to the child of God. In fact, God has placed his will before us in the Word of God. That if you want to know God and know his will for your life, get into the Word of God. I'm going to say that one more time, because we need to become more biblically literate in our lives, that if we're going to understand who our Savior is and learn and grow to be who he's called us to be, knowing how to discern his will, we got to learn the Word of God. Learn it. Commit it to memory. Take passages of Scripture and begin to commit them to memory, so you can be like the psalmist said, I've hid your word in my heart that I will not sin against you. I got to hurry on here, but use time wisely that you might know what the will of God is. But he doesn't stop there. Text goes on to say, and do not get drunk. Help me preach for a moment. Tell your neighbor, don't get drunk. No, you really got to tell it to him. Tell him. Yeah. The Bible says, he says, do not get drunk with wine that leads to debauchery. Do you see it here? But be filled with the Spirit. This prohibition is not against alcohol. This prohibition is not against alcoholic beverages. The prohibition is against drunkenness. I'm teaching Bible. And he raises it to illustrate to the believer that we should not allow any influences in our lives that will lead us from the influence of the Spirit of God. Did you catch that? That anything, drugs, relationships, whatever it is, if it's pulling you away from God, then God doesn't have it for your life. And so he illustrates, he says, so don't get, I was almost going to ask you, but you know, confession is good for the soul, bad for reputation. So I'm not going to ask you if you ever got drunk before, but what I'm going to say is, he says, do not get drunk. But you've seen someone drunk before, haven't you? You've seen them. Because what has the beverage has taken over them, the substance has taken over them, it influences them. And Paul in his writing says, if we're going to maximize every moment, we got to guard against those things that will rob from the influence of the Spirit in our lives. He says, be filled. You got your Bible open, right? He said, be filled. He says, be filled. Be filled with the Spirit. Don't spill out what the Spirit put in. He says for us to be filled. Now, kid, now my young people, I need your help for a moment here. I need you to tell me when this is filled. What about right there? Is that filled? How we know it's not filled? It's not filled up all the way. There's still other things that could fit in here. He says, be filled, filled to capacity, take up all of the space. Is it filled yet? Is it filled? Oh, come on now. That got to be full enough.
I mean, you know how we get. At least I went to church. I mean, that got to be full enough. I attended life group. That got to be full enough, right? I gave my offer. That must be full enough until the next Sunday. Mm-mm. Notice the New Testament never teaches us to be. It doesn't say, it doesn't give us a command to be baptized in the Spirit, slain in the Spirit. It doesn't teach us to be in. It doesn't say for us to be indwelt by the Spirit. These are standard equipment in the life of the believer. But the command says, be filled with the Spirit. See, as a believer, the Holy Spirit is within you. That's your standard equipment, right? But he says, be filled. Make room for until the Spirit takes up full influence, full residency within you. That there's no space. Is this full yet? It's like kind of full? Is it halfway full? What about it? Is this full yet? Why? Because there's still room for something else to be there. He says, be filled. Filled, like to capacity. Is that filled? Somebody said no. Now look at this cup. This it's filled that there is no other greater influence than that which is in it. I really want you to get this, brothers and sisters, that what God is calling us to is to open ourselves up this year in such a way that he takes up all the space. That every day, you start spiritually. Every day, you examine the day that God has given you. You look around and say, okay, God has blessed me. He's awakened me. And as soon as the troubles of the world start to come, I want to challenge you to press pause on it. Some of us in here, we need to fast from social media and fast from the news and fast from some foods. We need to fast so that we can concentrate and be filled. Man, I hope you get this. He says, be filled with the Spirit, fully under the Spirit's influence, and it'll change how you speak. I'm done now, because one of the characteristics of being filled with the Spirit, he has it there in text. If you continue to read in verse 18, he says, don't be drunk with wine. He says, but one of the characteristics of being filled with the Spirit, one of the ways you know you're filled with the Spirit, look at verse 19, because you start addressing each other differently. He says, addressing one another in psalms and in hymns and in spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord in your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the text that when you are filled, when you are full, when you are under the influence of the Spirit, it changes how you speak. It changes how you interpret life. It changes how you see, because your focus becomes on God. And hear me well, I'm not challenging you to live your best life today. This is not the challenge of the text. The text is to live your life under the influence of God. That's how you maximize every moment, because God has given you the minutes and the seconds of your life. And if you really want to live it, truly live it, then give it to him. And when you are filled spiritually, you'll start to speak graciously. See, one of the ways you know you're not filled is when you hear yourself saying stuff that you ought not say. One of the ways we know we're not filled is when everybody gets on our nerves. You ever had one of those days? I told you I felt like preaching. Yeah. No, really, I like honest people. You ever woke up and like everybody got on your nerves? See, I'm on this side, y'all. I'm pray for y'all. Yeah. But something can't be wrong with everybody. Must be means that something is wrong with me, with my body. I'm gonna teach you. Because God wants us to live lives of graciousness. He wants us to live lives of gratitude. He wants his children to be grateful. And so when we are filled with the Spirit, it changes our speech on how we behave to each other, one another. And It demonstrates our relationship with God. Because when we're filled, when we're maximizing every moment, get this, we're realizing that we have more to be thankful for than not. That's the end part of the passage. He says, giving thanks. You got your Bibles open? What's that word right there? Giving thanks. I told you don't close your Bible. Verse 20, giving thanks what?
Always.
Let me say it one more time. Giving thanks when?
Always.
Giving thanks always and for everything to God. And when you focus on the right thing, you can give thanks for everything because you understand that God is with you. And in this year, he's challenging us to maximize our moments, live every moment for him, looking at what he's already done, trusting what he will do, and allowing him to use you this year the way he intends to. That's your challenge.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.